So I kind of like movies too, and one of my favorites is one called Batman Begins. And he's probably referenced that already before, but more than one time, in fact. But in the movie, Bruce Wayne falls. As a little boy, he falls into a well. You know, he gets down into the well, and the bats. It's a well beside a cave where there are lots of bats, and the bats start coming out, and it scares him to death. And so later, he is going to the theater, and he's afraid of the. He thinks he sees the bats in the theater, and his parents are killed, and he lives with the grief and of having lost his parents and caused them to die, to be killed by a thief because he was afraid and left the theater early. And so he decides that somehow he's got to find himself, and so he believes that these bats are a thing of fear. And later he adopts the bat in order to strike fear in the minds and hearts of the criminals, right? You guys remember all that. Well, I just want you to know that I have traveled overseas, lots of different places. I've been behind the Iron Curtain. I've faced a lot of different fears in my life. I've faced accidents, death, different times, different places. But just a few months ago, I really got afraid. I was really afraid. Are you sure I can go along with that? The movie was about fear, but I want to tell you, I lived in some real fear in my house. I was coming back from a meeting. I got back home about 10 o'clock, and I opened the door of from the garage into my family room and kitchen. It's kind of all one thing. So I opened the door, and I turned on the light. It was 10 p.m., and I hear, and I look, and circling my ceiling fan are three bats. And I'm going, there are bats in my house. What am I going to do? I'm leaving the next morning at 6 a.m. for a trip. So I thought, so I go in and I get my broom. So I walk into my living room, actually my family room, and the bats start running at me or flying around in a circle. And so I'd swing. Of course, you miss them, because I'm a pretty big, I can hit a baseball. I can hit a 90-mile-an-hour baseball. Can I hit a bat? And so I would swing and dodge. But you know what? One of the things that I didn't realize is, have you ever been out camping and you've seen a few bats? And, like kids, they'll take a rock and they'll throw it up and the bat will follow it down. Have you noticed that? You throw something up, the bat follows it down. Well, whenever you swing a broom at a bat, guess what he does? He follows the broom down. And so it scared the stew out of me because every time I'd swing at one, the other two would dive at me. And so literally, I would swing and I would fall down. Falling on the floor. Ouch. Well, finally, after multiple swings, I hit one. So I scooped him up. I thought, now I've knocked him down, what do I do with him? So I got a plastic trash bag, right? Got him up in the trash bag with my little gloves, threw him outside. So then I hit the second one, and I just swept him outside. I'm getting pretty good at this. I hit the third one finally. I knocked him over against the mantle, and then I had to got him out and threw him outside. By this time, I'm hot and sweaty. It took me 45 minutes to get the bats out of my house. So I'm going into my bathroom to take a shower, and I thought, I got to pack because I have to leave at 6 a.m. the next day. And I go in and take a shower. I come out, unfortunately in my underwear, and there was a bat flying around in my bedroom. There's a bat in my bedroom. And so I put on my shoes, my clothes, I run out, I get my broom, I come back, and I'm swinging at the bat. And actually, I knocked him down, and I thought, what am I going to do? So I grabbed a laundry basket, dumped the laundry out, and pinned him, right? And so I said, now what am I going to do? How am I going to get this bat out? So I'm down on my hands and knees, and I'm thinking, well, I'll just slip my hand under here, and I'll grab him and pull him out, Well, I lifted up the laundry basket, and the little bat scurried underneath my chest of drawers. so I'm going, now what am I going to do? I am not sleeping in this house with you under that chest of drawers. And so I thought, well, I'll move the chest of drawers. So I moved the chest of drawers, and of course he just followed chest of drawers. So then I thought, I went out to the garage, and I got some, the first thing I could find was ant and roach spray. So I came back, and underneath my chest of drawers, I just sprayed. Just kept spraying. Finally, the little bat scurried out. I thought, I've got him! And he went under my wardrobe. By this time, I was so frustrated, I just went over, I picked up the wardrobe, and I went, boom! Pictures fell off the wall, pictures fell off the wardrobe, everything was just a complete wreck, and there was the little bat in the corner. I picked him up in my little trash bag and just threw him outside. So you think, my room smells like ant and roach spray. It's a complete wreck. It takes me another 45 minutes. By this time, it's 2 in the morning. So I thought, I've got to sleep. So I ended up going to sleep, except every time I heard something, I would jump up and turn around in my bed because I thought there would be a bat. And so it was this thing. And over and over, I'd turn on the light. I'd be sleeping there, and I'd hear something. I'd turn the light on, I'd jump around. See? Well, about an hour and a half into it, I wake up. I hear something in my vertical blinds. And I turn on the light, and sure enough, there was a bat. And it was one of those primal man screams. I just went, ripped the cover off. It scared the bat. He was stuck in the blinds. It scared him so much, he flew into the family room. And so I went in the family room, knocked him down. Just to say that before it was over, I had either swept out, thrown away, 12 bats in my house. Now, let me tell you, the first 3 bats were nothing. I mean, they were nothing. But I can say to you, honestly, by bat number 12, in fact, I was leaving. I'd had an hour and a half sleep. I got up at I was supposed to leave at 6, got up at 5. And I said, oh, I left my briefcase in the office. So I went in my briefcase, and in my trash can, there was a bat in my trash can. By that time, I'd completely run out of adrenaline and energy. I just said, oh, I just took my trash bag and tied him up and threw him in the garbage. I found out that bats could crawl through the size of your little pinky. A full-grown bat can squeeze through about 3/8 of an inch diameter, and also they're protected. So bats scared me. Yeah, they weren't protected at my house anymore, I can tell you that. Yeah, yeah. But honestly, I thought, you know, I faced all these kind of different dangers, and these little bats were scaring the stew out of me. After number 12, I was a little flaky, you know. And so Josh came home one day, and he said, and we found another bat, so I'm in there swinging at the bats, and he said, what's wrong with you? He says, you're really freaking out. I said, yeah, I'm kind of nervous, you know, this is number 17. So, bats can, you know, they struck fear in my life. So I can understand about a little bit about fear. But in Joshua chapter 1, Moses is facing fear, a different kind of fear. Excuse me, not Moses. Joshua is facing fear. Moses is dead. That's why he's afraid, in fact. Oh, the chapter begins with Moses being dead. And for 40 years, Moses had led the children of Israel, and Joshua had been his right-hand man. And so, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to the Jordan, you and all this people, and to the land that I'm giving you, to the people of Israel. And so, the spiritual leader, the physical leader, the military leader was dead, and Joshua was the guy to take over. He had to be afraid. Joshua would be the very guy that would accomplish everything that God had given Moses to do, as far as the land, leading the people into the land. But now, Joshua was the guy who would face this obstinate, stiff-necked people, who would face all the different peoples in the land of Canaan that they were to take over, enemies all around him, and the guys in front of him not exactly too sure where they want to follow God most of the time. And the man that Joshua had admired most Moses had failed because of disobedience. Who wouldn't be afraid? I mean, for a guy who's very task-oriented, that would scare the bejeebers out of him, wouldn't it? That's huge. But God tells him this. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. I've already given it to you, Joshua. Every place you walk, I've given to you. This is God telling Joshua that. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, and all the lands of the Hittites and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What kind of guarantee is that? The God of the universe says, no man can stand before you. I'd kind of like that. I could really do the Bucks good, couldn't I? No man can stand before you, Joshua. And then he says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Just like my relationship with Moses. And everybody knows that Moses had a great relationship with God. I'm going to have the same kind of relationship with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Kind of reminds you of what Jesus said, I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Haven't I commanded you? By the way, I've said it two other times, but just in case you missed it, be strong and courageous, Josh. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The thing I'd like for you to remember this morning is that the same thing that God told Joshua, He's telling us today. He says there are at least three primary truths in this passage. First of all, the first truth is God's promises, His commands, are trustworthy. They're backed up by God. God gave Joshua His commands. He said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Meditate on My Word. Obey it. It wasn't like it was a suggestion. He said, yes, you'll be prosperous, but He said, these are My promises. Go in and take the land. I am with you. The second thing that He did was He gave him His presence. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I'm going to be with you always. Every place your foot treads, I am going to go with you. Let me tell you about some places your foot might tread that might give you a little difficulty. Let me tell you a little bit about Jan and I. We met in Navigator Ministry at North Carolina State. And 3 years later, after being in the ministry and my graduation and practicing architecture for a couple of years, we were married. Soon after that, we had twins. And then we went to Michigan State for staff training and moved here in 1980 to start the USF campus ministry. 1980, we became members of Seminole. And you folks that have been here longer than that, remember just the days where Jan and I ministered together. We taught together. We served together. We served a lot of meals together. We raised our family. In 85, Joshua came along. Then in 2000, I took a job out at headquarters for 4 years with the NAVs and moved back here in 2000 to rebuild the campus ministries. And then cancer came. Many of you have faced cancer or are facing it today. As soon as you hear the word cancer, if it's involved with anyone in your family, it strikes fear in your heart. You think, where is it going to go? What's going to end up? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? First thing that Jan said after we got out of the diagnosis from the doctors, she said, what is it going to do to the boys? Multiple myeloma, almost 5 years of treatment, chemotherapy, and isolation. Jan went home to be with the Lord on January the 1st, New Year's Day, 2007. God took her home, her battle over. The fear, unfounded. Because now, she was with Jesus. She is with Jesus. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My word is still true. My promises are still trustworthy. You know, we need people to come along our lives and to encourage us. We need different folks like John to preach at us. Some people just to come alongside us and show us the way. I had two such people. One was named Larry, and he taught me years ago how to study the Scriptures. He taught me how to pray over the promises of God and how to get into the Word and look at it and write questions and seek answers and find definitions and see the big picture and to meditate by looking at God's Word in all different ways. Meditate, by the way, one of the words for it means to mumble. It's to mumble constantly. So I meditate. I'm mumbling God's Word constantly because I'm thinking about it. This guy by the name of Larry taught me what it meant to obey God's Word because he taught me how to get in the Word. And if you want one of the foundations that will help you withstand the pressures and stresses of this life, whether it's cancer or a lost job or a child that you have no idea what to do or a relationship that's broken, God's Word is full of promises and truth that will sustain you in the midst of the circumstances that will drag you down. It's the foundation of any ministry, but more importantly, it's the foundation for our lives. It is the living and abiding Word of God. The Scriptures. Meditate. Study the promises of God and obey them. A second man by the name of Lauren taught me about the presence of God. Let me tell you how he taught me about the presence and the character of God. He taught me about what it meant for God to be sovereign in the circumstances of life and good. See, God is not just, I'm in control. If He was just in control and not good, what kind of God would that be? Or if He was good but not in control, what kind of God would that be? And so this balance between sovereignty, that there's an almighty God that, yes, is powerful and has your life in His hand, and His goodness that says, I am for you, I am with you, I love you, I will not forsake you. That balance of sovereignty and goodness, to trust that, is what Lauren taught me. And if I'm trusting in that, I'm trusting in the very character of God. I'm trusting that His words are true, that what He says and what He does is holy and right. No matter how I am feeling. And when I'm screaming at God because He took my wife, or when I cry for days on end, to hold on to the character of God and say, by faith, I believe that You are not just a God that is in control, but You are also a God of goodness and love. I'm almost done. when the questions of life seem too tough, when they seem too hard to handle, whenever they seem absolutely, irritatingly, angering, they make you angry, whenever they seem hopeless, whenever you're afraid because you might not live up to the expectation, or you might not be able to provide, or you might not be good enough, or you might be facing death yourself. Remember that, yes, Romans 8:28, God is in control and He's good. And submit to that. Lord, I am yours. I am yours. I submit. I give myself to you. And I can tell you that that's the way Jan lived. She loved the Scriptures. She studied them diligently. She trusted in His character. One of the nurses reminded me, she said, this woman never complained. She was always more concerned about others than about herself. She wrote, I'm not certain where she got this, but she wrote, fear looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. What is she looking up to? She's looking at God. At His promises being true, as His character being that of being sovereign and good. One of the things that enabled me to get through this last year is just to realize that the celebration began January the 1st, 2007. Jan's the bride of the Lamb, and you have friends and family who are also the bride of the Lamb, that are completely fulfilled, that are enjoying the presence of Jesus, where there are no tears, that they are complete. And you know what? That's where we all long to be. This really is a shadow. Joshua faced fear and failure. He faced death. He faced his fears, and I believe that he faced his fears the same way that I'm talking about, with God's promises, God's Word, and with God's presence, His character. That's what God promised Joshua. And Joshua 24:31 says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua. When Joshua died, the Bible says, all of Israel served the Lord all of his days. What kind of great epitaph is that? May that be your legacy when you go home this afternoon. Like Joshua, may His presence go with you. May you believe and meditate and trust and study God's Word. May you believe in His power and His sovereignty and His goodness in the midst of whatever you might face in life. And as God commanded Joshua, be strong and courageous. I am with you. Be strong and courageous. I will give you the land. Be strong and courageous. Meditate on my word, and you'll be successful. He says, I am sovereign. I am powerful. I am good. I am God. The fifth verse in the hymn, O Worship the King, that we sang four verses of, says, frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Be strong and courageous, my friends. Let's pray. Father, in the midst of everybody's got something going on. There's some kind of thing that we're struggling with, some relationship, some family issue, some struggle somewhere. And in the midst of that, there's always fear. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we would believe that You are powerful enough, that Your Word is true enough, that it's enough to know that You will never forsake us, even when we're afraid. God, I pray that we would study and hold on and believe Your promises, Your commands, Your Word, and that we would trust in Your presence with us, Your faithful character, that You will be with us even as You were with Moses and Joshua. And Lord, I pray that all the days of our lives, may our families and our friends and those that You have given us, may they follow and serve You just as we would in Your name, I pray.